Martha, are you going to do this for us?
Oh, I just came in front of you, Yaffy.
Oh, I can't see any of that. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here for the first forum of the strategic planning process. What we would like this afternoon to be is some information about what's been going on, but also we welcome input. So we're going to be asking you for that more towards the latter of the program, but we do want to touch on some things as we get started here. So I'm Paula Potter.
And I'm Bruce Schulte.
And as you probably know, we have a new president, Tim Cabone, and he is full of enthusiasm, very personable, obviously loves WKU. And so with his arrival, we've now started this process. So a little bit of information about what he sees that the mission of WKU, a student-centered, applied research university that inspires innovation, elevates community, and transforms lives. At convocation, as you'll recall, he challenged us to determine our collective vision for WKU for the next 10 years. As part of this charge, he directed members of the greater WK community to work together to formulate this 10-year strategic plan. If you'll take a look at the strategic planning website, we do have this here. We're going to go over it in detail in just a few moments. There's a message there about he met with well over 100 individuals, gaining information, just having conversations. And so as the result of that, over months of visits, what resulted was six working groups, those committees, a steering committee, and again, we'll be going over those in detail. One of the things that we have been repeating throughout this process as the work groups have been meeting, I know that the committees that they have met at least 5 to 10 times, so these meetings are occurring. We do want to let you know that at this point, it's still very much a creative process, because what we've been asked to do is to take a look at what are some big ideas. What do we want WKU to be known for? And it's a great opportunity because it's up to us. We have been asked to do this. So a little bit about that information and kind of where we are today.
So we want to thank the president for the trust that he put in all of us who are serving on the strategic plan. We realize it's an important task ahead and an important responsibility. Paul and I haven't quite figured out how we offended him to get this position, but anyways, here we are. But quite seriously, I think everybody, we have a number of our co-chairs here. We have a number of the steering committee members in the audience as well. And thank you to the Senate for changing your time today so that members of the Senate could attend as well. And appreciate the provost being here. I saw him at one point, unless he was just coming in for a quickie and then taking off again. No, I think he's here. So we appreciate all that. What we just want to do, this is, again, mainly an input from you session. But what we want to start with is just for those of you that haven't looked at the website at all, whether you're here or at one of the satellite campuses, and we appreciate all of the people from the satellite campuses also participating in this event. We're just going to walk you through a little bit of the main things about the website, because, again, this is an information gathering session from this point until, you know, constantly throughout the whole process. So I'll step over here and run the computer for a minute, and Paul is just going to talk about a little bit about the website.
Okay. As we stated there, on the website, you're going to have access to the meetings. We will remind you of this, but if you have a question, if you would come forward to these microphones up front, because we're recording and we want the regional campuses or anyone that is plugged into the streaming of this particular meeting to be able to hear your questions. So we'll be reminding you of that a little bit later on. But if you take a look here at this site, you can see the president's message, which talks about the process, all right, and the resulting committees that came out of that. If you take a look there at the committees, you'll see the student success and experience, research scholarship and creative endeavors, external relations and alumni engagement, diversity, equity, and inclusion, budgeting, efficiency, and infrastructure, and academic innovation and excellence. So those are the committees and their members that have been meeting and working. We also want to draw your attention to, there is a submit your feedback on this particular site so that at any time you are welcome to submit questions, input. This is, again, a process. And we're hoping with the president's charge that this can be implemented in fall of 2018. So with that being in mind, we are hoping to be able to accomplish that. So we had the kickoff meeting October 9th. We had the first meeting of all of the groups and working group members on November the 9th. Our next meeting of that nature will be on December the 6th. Those meetings are open. There are, it's in this building. There are plenty of open chairs there, so you're absolutely invited to attend those as well. And we're hoping to have another forum on December the 7th, trying to look at, arrange those times so that it's available to a lot of people across campus. And those will also be incurring into the beginning of 2018 as well. So were you able to click on the submit? Have they already seen the submit your feedback? Okay.
So I went over to the meetings one.
Okay. Again, the meetings are recorded. You're able to watch these and also just take a look at that, become familiar with it. We really want that to be something that the community, the WK community, works with and uses.
And then the last one is news and updates. So anything special would be here. And this is also where the list of the steering committee members are. So, and at any time you want to just go back to that main page, just click here. So that's our website, and we hope to keep it up to date. And we also, again, the big thing about that is the feedback. You can be anonymous or you can give us your name. If that doesn't work for you, feel free to contact Paul or I directly by email or in person. You also can talk to any of the co-chairs or any members of any of the committees. And that link that has the committees, if you click on any one committee, you'll see all the members of that committee. So you can contact any of them if you have an issue addressing that particular committee's topic. So as Paula said, we met November 9th after a kickoff a month before that. And we wanted to just tell you a little bit about what happened on that November 9th, and then we're just going to open it up to questions for the most part from you. And again, come down to use some mics for that. So what we had been charged with by the president, and you can read the charge on the website, is to look at what they typically have called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we started to talk about that as a group, even at that first meeting in October, and felt that a more aspirational approach was appropriate. So we moved over to sort of a SOAR analysis: strengths, opportunities, aspirations, and results, and try to keep this a very positive, forward-looking type of process. We didn't want to get bogged down into problems, although obviously that's where things start, is talking about issues and problems. And so we did a little bit of that And some of the things that came out in the November 9th meeting were some of the universality of the problems, things like silos on campus in terms of students not being able to move well between different areas and maybe not being as student-centered as we aspire to be, and also sometimes having difficulty in operational definitions of what we mean by certain terms, such as student success. What does that really mean, and are we defining it the way students would define it? So we dealt a lot with those issues through the November 9th, and this is really a time for us to stay aspirational, to stay with big ideas and imagination, and that's kind of the charge for the next month, is to really keep the big ideas going, and that's the input we really want from the WKU community. So this is, again, it's an open process. We really want input. You're not going to today hear a lot of answers in the sense of, we're going to go do this. You know, this isn't like Monopoly and moves three steps ahead and buy the hotel on Boardwalk or something. This is still in a very thoughtful stage. And so what we're looking for, you can ask any questions you want. You may not get answers if you're looking for concrete replies at this point, because we really don't want to cut the thinking of the committees off. We don't want to channel them at all. But it's been a very positive experience so far. And do you have anything you're going to add, or do you want to open up to questions?
We can certainly open up to questions. We did talk to the people that were setting up the room before. We do want to thank Anthony, Sean, Tammy, and Rachel. They have just been great, because we said, you know, we're going to be talking. And so if you have an idea, your input, or a question, it's going to be recorded. It's going to be transcribed. So if we're not making notes, please understand we are going to go back. We'll be able to read that and take a look at that as well. So we invite, I don't know if there's anything else we want to add at this point. We do have co-chairs here. We're going to invite them to jump in at any time if they feel that they can answer questions or you know, speak to a particular issue.
So while I'm waiting for the first do you have anything from satellite campuses? Okay. If anybody wants to come down and use a mic, please do. That's what we need to hear a question. I guess what I'll do while I'm waiting for that first brave soul, it always takes one lemming, you know. Oh, here we go. We got one. Go for it. Just introduce yourself and then ask your question, and we'll see who maybe can answer it.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ryan Linton. I'm a current sophomore at Western. So you said that you, going into this entire program, was that you weren't looking at problems on the university currently. Has that shifted once you realize that is necessary to do first?
Well, we are looking at problems. What we're trying not to do is just problem solve. So it's not a matter of like, you know, this is wrong, how do we fix that? This is wrong. So we did, one of the things we saw is the commonality of issues, regardless of the committee name, a lot of the same things came up. And so the idea is to take that, but rather than just say, how do we fix that problem, is really, where do we want to go? What does Western want to be? What are we aspiring to be? And then looking at that potential and that desire to move forward, and then look back and say, okay, what problems, you know, might not be solved with this front, you know, moving forward in this direction. So we clearly are looking at problems. We're trying not to dwell on problems and get caught up in just solving problem by problem. Does that help?
Yes. One more question as well. How many students are on each committee? Just a rough estimate or a number.
There should be a student representative that's on each committee, from what I can recall. So there are students there. Actually, this part of the steering committee, what we've been doing is trying to go to each one of these committee meetings. And I've just been so happy to see that the students are very vocal. They're asking questions. They're very involved. And so we've really enjoyed seeing that. So yes, they are absolutely in this process.
Okay. And how many faculty and or staff are on the same committees, proportionally wise?
There are approximately 10 to 13 members per committee. I will have to be honest with you as far as an exact breakdown of that. We also have people from industry that are also, and also from the community. We also have alumni. We have part of the Board of Regents that are part of those committees as well. So there is a mixture.
And I understand the need for having small committees to do these things. Proportionally wise, would it be feasible to include more students on the committees in general, since a majority of the population that we are trying to serve is students?
I think what I hear you saying is that you're very concerned about, we want to make sure that students are part of this process. And one of the things that came up at our November 9th meeting was very much focused on how can students succeed here at WKU. So with that being said, that's very much in what we are looking at, because that's part of what WKU really is. So as far as that being something that we are embracing, that we are looking at, honestly, I mean, we do want this process to turn out to be something that is absolutely beneficial for WKU students.
So I'm hearing what you're saying. But is it feasible or possible to include more students? Because while it's important that the people on the committees do have that student focus, because that's what we want in a university, is for it to serve its students, because that is, I think, the general purpose of university, to learn. Is it feasible to add more students? Because while having one student on a committee is fantastic, that one student can't represent the entire body of students, because there's 20,000 on this campus.
Right.
Is it possible to add more students so that there are more voices that represent the general population of students, so that there are more ideas shown and there's a more diverse population represented?
Well, I know that we are going to be visiting the SGA as far as actually putting more students on. I mean, that is something that we can discuss. We do have the working groups, you know, formed at this point, and they are working on that. I will be honest with you, that is something that we can discuss as far as how that, you know, procedure would go in terms of determining who and where and placement and that would have to be, you know, a logical process in terms of how that would work. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And in terms of drawing from sorry, I just want to make sure I'm clear when you're saying you're going to SGA. So are you?
We've been invited to the meeting, Andy.
Yes.
It is actually on the steering committee. And
yeah.
There's a meeting, I believe, on November 28th that she invited us to attend. And so we're actually going to be there.
In terms of drawing from student population for future student applicants on the committees, are you looking at drawing from SGA? Because that's kind of what I got. I just don't want to misunderstand.
I don't know. I'm honestly not prepared to go there in terms of you know, what that would even look like if we go in that direction. I don't know if Bruce has any thoughts or wants to add to that.
Well, maybe it would help if you read the president's paragraph. This was not a process that was put together as a representation of particular groups. It was a process of people being selected by the president who had ideas and thoughts and perspectives in a sort of think tank kind of way. So no committee is in any way necessarily reflective 100% of any aspect of the university. There's not one person from each college on it. There's not one person from each student group or faculty group. There's not one person, you know, it was never constructed that way. It was constructed as sort of a think tank kind of model. And so the idea and the charge that we've all had from the beginning is you have to leave your unit, your degree, whatever it is you have behind, and just really, you're just a hilltopper, you know, and you're just going for, you know, the best the hill can be. And that's the goal of this. And so, you know, that's why we're holding this. That's why we have a website. That's why our meetings are open, because, you know, we had a meeting last on the 9th, and we had two guests there, both reporters, one from the Herald, one from the Daily News. We didn't have anybody from the community. So clearly that message was not heard, that our big meetings are open to the public. We want people there. We want input. We want you to talk to us. The committees of, you know, 50 people don't become effective. So if you try to have some sort of equal representation of every group on every committee, it's just not going to work. You're not going to have a functional committee. But we do feel we have the interest of Western, and that Western is the students. I mean, that you define the university. So you are at the heart and soul of what we are doing. And we hope we have your best interests at heart all the time. And we want your input.
And I'm sorry if I came across trying to advocate for like having everyone, like every different like sect or silo, as you said, represented in these committees, because that's, like you said, it's not possible, it's not feasible. What I'm concerned about is the lack of experience, the lack of diverse experiences, because that the experience of a freshman on the bottom of the hill is different from the provost or different from a head of a college. So having not equal representation of silos or colleges or residence halls or whatever, but having diverse experiences that are on the committee. So having multiple perspectives, because not that it isn't already there, not that it is not already present, but there are going to be problems and issues and future aspirations for the university that someone that is not on these committees are going to have that you're not going to be aware of, because they're not going to know about these meetings. They're not going to come forward and feel comfortable speaking. So having them on the committees, inviting them, I'm just curious if that is a possibility. I'm sorry if I came across
No, I wasn't saying you were. I was just trying to explain the process that this was not like an invitation to meet groups. I mean, I think I would say probably at this point the committees are pretty well set. We've met for a month. You know, I don't know that we're going to do a lot of like continuing to add and take people off and that kind of stuff. That's just the reality of trying to move forward. But that's, you know, why we have the website. It's why we have the forums. That's why we're open. You know, Paul and I would be happy to meet with any particular individual or group of students, come to a dorm. My daughter's an RA in Minton, you know, so, you know, we are open. That's all I can say. I'm not trying to, you know, close down your thoughts or anything like that. So we want to know what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what you're hoping for.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Anything from satellites, Anthony? No? Okay. So I do theater, so I can probably stand up here and ad lib for a long time, but that's probably not why you came. So it would be really nice if somebody else had a question that they would like to ask. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm Jerry Barney, Director of Study Away. And us who are working international side, note that international is not addressed in any way in any of the committees specifically. So I'm curious how that is intended to fit into those pieces.
You can be part of it. We've actually been meeting with Gordon Johnson. Just came from a meeting this afternoon, because this is an area that absolutely does have a place in this process. So in terms of being connected with him, with international relations and all that embodies, it is part of this process. We are having a meeting with the co-chairs on Monday and talking with them about asking Gordon if he does want to come meet with them, please come to the meetings, because it really should be something that is woven throughout all of these particular committees. And I know at least a couple committees have already talked about that that's something that has been discussed. So does that help answer, Jerry, your question? Okay.
And maybe just to add to that real quickly is that Lynn and Molly are part of the Diversity and Equity and Inclusiveness Committee, and they have also said that that's a topic that they feel is an important part of their committee because for all the obvious reasons. So, you know, it is being dealt with both specifically in some committees and universally across committees.
I'm Alexa. I'm a senior here. I agree with Ryan that there should be more students on the committees. But if the committees aren't committed to that, I was wondering what other types of organizing strategies you guys have to make sure that students' voices are heard, rather than just having open forums where we can come and talk to you guys like this. That's great, and thank you. But do you have any other like organizing strategies to reach students where they are?
In terms of, we absolutely want to have forums like this. Are you suggesting that maybe we should do a forum that's just for students? I mean, we would be open to, I mean, do you have ideas about what would be the best way for us to do that?
Yeah. Like, for instance, if there were organizers that job was to go out and talk to students and find out things that are problems for us, things that we need help with, challenges that make it hard for us to be students. So people coming out to us rather than us coming to you, I think is a really good way to make sure that our voices are heard, because sometimes we aren't able to even make it to these meetings. So yeah, I think that having an organizer or someone who is able to reach us where we are,
okay,
would be a really good thing.
So I'm curious, as from a student perspective, so something like the website, we are able to submit feedback. I mean, do you think that students will take advantage of that?
I mean,
in some sense?
Hopefully. But I do not think that it's as effective as having someone coming to us who is actually like showing that they care.
Okay.
So like, I mean, I think it's great that there is a way for us to like have our opinions go up into an internet cloud that someone is probably going to read and probably going to care about. But I do think that it would be much more effective if someone was able to find us where we are, to show that you really care about what we have to say.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. I'm curious. So if that were a student that were an organizer or part of this, do you think that students would be more open to talk to them, or would they talk to me if I were someone that were to meet you where you are? I mean, I just, because this is an input type of meeting that we're having, so I'm just curious about, you know, because it sounds to me like you have a picture of what this looks like, and so I want to make sure I'm understanding the picture.
I believe that organizers can come from within the group, like a student, like myself.
Okay.
I'd be happy to do that if you want to employ me. If, you know, someone who has a clear understanding and empathy and can kind of integrate themselves into the group of students and demonstrate that they get it and they're here to help and they're okay. Here to work with you and they're here to listen.
Okay.
And they're here to take your opinions and are going to make sure that they're heard.
Okay.
and that we're represented. I don't think that it necessarily means that they have to be a student, but okay. It probably is helpful.
Okay. I just was curious about how.
Think? Yeah.
So what, if any of the students can stick around after this is over, Paul and I would be happy to talk with you and sort of formulate a little bit of a plan of action. If you can't stay, then we'll find another time to do it. But anybody that wants to do that, we'll stick around for a little bit and talk to you.
I wish I could, but I'm actually going to the deliberative dialogue across the street.
Yeah, I was
going to
do that too. So maybe we'll end this early.
But so. I want to another time.
So if I don't see you here, I'll see you there. And then the Confucius Bosnia thing at the 4:30. So there's
Thank
lots
you.
Going on today.
Uta Siegler, I'm School of Engineering and Applied Sciences. I guess I have a suggestion. The website asked us for feedback. I know that Carboni asked the committees to look at data, strengths and weaknesses and trends. I know you somewhat decided that to redefine that slightly. Nevertheless, the committees are doing a bunch of work, and it's hard for you to share that within an hour in an open forum. So my suggestion would be to ask the committees to actually provide information on this website about what the data is that they have found, what the strengths, weaknesses, aspirations, whatever it is that you have, which are discussed. I think it would also address maybe the students, that they actually know what's even in the discussion, what has been already addressed. Right now, they don't even know whether certain things should be brought up or whether they already are brought up. And I think the same thing is true on the faculty side. So in order for you to get good feedback and add transparency to this process and potentially more buy-in at the end, I think it would be good to have information from the committees published on the website.
Okay, thank you. We'll certainly figure out a way to do that efficiently, and so we can get some information out to you. Thanks, Yuta.
Thank you.
I think we have from the regional.
Yes. This is from Elizabethtown. Are there any plans for conducting university-wide academic program demand assessments to determine which programs might be developed, modified, or retired in an effort to better align academic programming with workforce needs?
It really sounds like a co-chair answer.
Can you please repeat that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are there any plans for conducting university-wide academic program demand assessments to determine which programs might be developed, modified, or retired in an effort to better align academic programming for workforce needs?
Stand up. But don't, you can use this one.
So I'm Greg Arbuckle, and I'm not one of the co-chairs, but I'm representing the Academic Excellence and Innovation Committee tonight. And what I would say to answer that question directly is no, there are no official plans for that. We're not that far along. I don't believe any of the committees are that far along on actually making a decision on anything like that. We're still looking at big ideas. I wouldn't say that is something that is not going to happen. But none of these strategic planning committees are also going to be the ones making those decisions either. It might be something that we look at. How do we evaluate programs of strength? What are the ways that that is done? But it wouldn't be something that the committee would actually do themselves. That's not something that can be done in the time frame that we would have to roll this process out by August.
Anything else? So we figured out that, no, here we go. We've got two coming up, so.
Hi, Greg Hackbarth, IT and staff counsel. Regarding your committee meetings and the openness of those, I think the reason that a lot of people didn't understand they were open is because the first one didn't seem to be advertised that way, and the second one was kind of last minute advertised, but going forward, it's nice to know that they are open. And how do you, what's the format of those meetings? Like, you have a large group meeting, and then you break down into smaller groups, and then how would a person from the community participate in those smaller groups, if that's the format?
What we did at the November 9th meeting, which was actually in a room upstairs, and so there are large tables. If you're wanting to get a layout of what the room is like, there are large tables, so the committees would be at those particular tables. To the side are several rows of chairs. And so it's very much set up like this in terms of the audio and visual. So you're able to hear what is going on in those discussions. What we did at the November 9th meeting was we had the committees share the process that they had been using to start to have a dialogue about this, you know, how do we go about this? Strengths, weakness, opportunities, threats, you know, aspirations and results. And so then we actually did have the groups mix them up a little bit so they could meet with other groups. So in terms of what was being discussed, we would then ask, are there questions from particular groups? People would post up, actually like on a poster board, you know, things that came out that was discussed in the group. So it's open in that sense. I mean, you would be able to hear what was going on at that particular meeting. We envision something that's going to be very similar to that at the December 6th meeting. So does that help answer your question in terms of
what it looks like? I was mainly curious if somebody had an interest in one particular committee's process, if they could sit in on that particular subcommittee, I guess you'd call it. But if they could sit in on that particular subcommittee's discussion or how that works.
It is open. So there's, and people were, you know, very much walking around. They were taking a look at, you know, what the other groups had formulated and discussed and talked about.
And then just real quick, just one more question. You mentioned that, you know, the charge to the committee was that everybody drop their biases or their, you know, their affiliations, whether they're faculty, staff, student, or whatever. What's been your experience with the process so far? Is it, have people seemingly been doing that? Have they been thinking about these areas that seem to be underrepresented? What's been your experience?
Actually, that is a challenge because what do we do every day? I mean, we come to work and it's like, okay, this is what I have to do, you know, for my area. So being able to step aside from that is a challenge. And from what I have seen, the committees have done an outstanding job of doing that. And I mean, and it is a challenge, I'll be honest with you. But I mean, it's very serious in terms of strategic planning, this entire process. And so people are committed to it. They're devoting their time and energy. And so, yes, there is an effort to do that I'm seeing.
Thank you.
Hi, I'd just like to interject a little bit. My name is Suzanne DeVries, and I am the co-chair of Budgeting, Efficiency, and Infrastructure. So if anybody did want to meet with me or shoot me an email, and I think I can speak for all the co-chairs here, that we'd be welcome to that type of input as well.
And perhaps to just clarify the big meetings, the core of the work is going on by committee in their weekly, sometimes two times a week, you know, meetings and stuff. And so, as Suzanne just said, if you have an interest in a particular committee, I would contact that one of those co-chairs and say, could I talk to you or could I provide input to that? With the big meeting, there's time when we go around and ask questions, Paul and I, while the committees are doing something, would go over and talk to the audience. This last time we just had two reporters, so we figured out pretty quickly what they wanted. But we would go around and talk to the audience and ask them, okay, what are your answers? And then when open Q&A times comes, we would be sure to draw questions from them. The committees aren't really just working with each other at this big meeting. They're working with everybody, just to give you a sort of clarification of how that's happening.
I'm Darlene Applegate. I'm a faculty member. If I could ask a couple of questions. I'll make them multiple part questions.
You can ask more, Darlene. That's okay.
About the student representation, does that include undergraduate and graduate students on various committees?
Yes.
Okay. And have you thought about following up with the comments about engaging with students? Have you thought about using social media, since that seems to be a popular way for students to communicate and get information now, like a Facebook page or other means? I know there'd be a lot of extra work, but just
students
throw that out.
Don't use.
Would
Facebook
you all look
anymore?
At a Facebook page
or whatever they use? I don't know what they use, but maybe ask them what they use.
And I understand very much what you're saying in terms of, because you know, I heard the students say, you know, meet us where we are.
Yes.
And so that is something that. Absolutely, it is a possibility because, you know, that is where they are. And so yes. In terms of, you know, how will this work? Again, we're open to that. And yeah, that social media, I know it's where
yeah, and
it
where
is
they
for
are
them.
Isn't necessarily face to face.
Yeah, and it's funny because we just had this conversation with Gordon Johnson and we were like, okay, so they don't use Facebook anymore and they're moving away from Twitter and then if you invade them by text or stuff, they're offended. So like you have to find where to, so we will have that conversation with the students as well because it's actually a tricky thing right now nationwide of how do you reach out to students? What medium do they want to be talked to in? So I think music is probably the best way. So,
Are the committees in their deliberations of where we want to take the university also considering or will be considering the budgetary implications of what they're proposing, or is that going to be a separate process?
You know, right now the budget council is meeting and so, you know, they're very much in the process of doing right now. We do have, you know, that particular committee. I think, you know, eventually when we get into implementation, that will have to be, you know, part of the discussion. But that's going to be very much down the road.
I was just looking at one of the co-chairs of budgeting, trying to see if anybody wants to come up and say anything, but I'm not getting a ride. But, all right, Jerry.
We've been told to think boldly and to dream. And so our subcommittee, our working group, we're not thinking about budget. So it's off to the side. And the way I kind of see it is each of the working groups is going to report to the steering committee. They're going to have to make all the pieces fit together. We've just been charged with one specific narrow thing. At the same time, we're talking with each other, figure out what each other group is working on.
Yeah, and Darlene, stay there, but that's a really good point. I don't think I explained that, but if you're not sure how this works, it comes spring term, each committee will send a report to the steering committee. The steering committee then has the job of putting those reports together into a workable strategic plan. And that is when some of the heavier decisions will have to be made. And as Paula said, there's a budget committee now that's working with Dr. Cremoni on the budget of the university. And then there's also a steering strategic planning committee that's dealing with budget that we're trying to keep more aspirational and not tied quite so much to how are we going to pay the bills next month. Those are two separate processes right now.
That's helpful to know and the way kinds of feedback that we'll provide to you. If I could ask another question, do you have a sense to what extent the state's performance funding indicators are going to inform deliberations on the committees? Are people thinking of that or not worried about that? Or does it vary?
I see a head nodding behind you. Who is that? Who is that talking head?
Yes.
That's the shortest Martha's ever spoken in any. That really is true, but again, we're aware of it, but we're not trying to be ruled by it.
Not being driven by it, right. But being cognizant of it. Okay, and I would like to give two thumbs up to Dr. Ziegler's suggestion that committees post information as they work through things, because I think it creates some synergy and helps you think in ways that you might not have before, or knowing what direction they're going can help us give continual feedback as the process continues. Thank you.
Point well taken. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leslie Dobbins. I am a junior here at Western and a non-traditional student. I have a five-year-old dependent son whom I'm a single mother of. And I have a couple of questions and comments about everything. I agree with having some sort of information on the site that I can go to and see what's even being talked about, because I feel weird asking questions when I don't know exactly where the conversations are going, what's being included and what's not, and I would love to know that. Also in relation to including students, I would love face-to-face meetings and interactions with faculty and people who are in charge of having these committees and talking about these sort of things. As a non-traditional student, very little of my life is on campus. I come to class and I leave, and the only reason I even knew about this today was because of my class with Dr. Ryan, who encouraged our class to come and attend, which also affects the feedback that we submit. I'm curious about how you all are letting students know that that's an option for us to submit feedback in that way, so that we can contribute to some of the decision-making. Sort of a question, sorry.
I wasn't sure that was a question. Obviously, this is just getting started. The website's not been up that long. Emails have been sent. Emails may not be the best way. So we have not, although, you know, the mantra is if you're a WKU student, you should check your WK email at least 3 times a week, right? So that's just out there. You should read your syllabus. You should check your WK email. So there are certain responsibilities, I think, on both sides here. And I think students have to accept those responsibilities that if they want to be involved, they've got to look to where to go. And that's not to say that we're doing a great job yet, but we will talk with the students afterwards and figure out better ways to reach out But there's got to be some reaching back as well. So I really am glad that you came. I appreciate Dr. Ryan from announcing this in your class. And we just have to, you know, this is just really getting going, and we've got to do a better job of getting everybody involved, and so that the next time we hold this, this room is full. So absolutely. And if you have any suggestions, again, I would welcome your input on how to reach out to you and people who are non-traditional.
I think another point about that is finding a number of different means to communicate with students, because I know that all of our lives are different. And so using Facebook or using email or whatever, we're all going to be receptive to different things for that reason. And so some students may not be interested in face-to-face conversations, mm-hmm. where some of us, including myself, would be, because I don't necessarily feel like showing up to a forum or submitting something online that someone will care about that. And that's just personal, like, intuition. It's not necessarily valid, but finding different means of approaching students, whether it's through our professors who we talk to face to face and we have a level of trust with them, mm-hmm. I guess, that we don't have with other faculty that we don't know, but reaching students in those different ways. And then also for those of us who have jobs in the community, I work downtown, for me to be able to find out about these things and then spread that information to other people I know and taking on that responsibility as students, which I feel like more of us would be more comfortable and be more interested in doing if we felt like our feedback was really valued. And then I think the word would spread more. So just taking those things into consideration, I think, would be super helpful.
Yeah. I'm wondering about a tweet or, you know, or having something that students can at least follow so that there are messages that, you know, possibly remind about meetings or, you know, some way to connect.
I don't use Twitter, but I know a lot of people do.
It's like trying to find the magic formula
yes,
here.
Yes, I use Instagram. That's really uh-huh. the only form of social media that I use regularly. For me personally, and I feel like this is probably more common of non-traditional students than of traditional students,
okay.
is my relationships with my professors mean so much to me because my life is crazy and I have a lot going on. And so I rely on feedback from them and my okay. Relationship with them. Uh-huh. I communicate with my professors a lot. And so I think that just for my particular genre of student, that that's super helpful if professors are kept in the loop and encouraged to talk to their students about these sorts of things. But I don't know what everyone else would say about how to get a hold of them, but just a recommendation.
Okay. I mean, that's, yeah, that's
every voice counts, and we do listen. So I just want you to know, spread that word. We do care and we do listen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I teach religions, and it's very sensitive. And all.
Could you just state your name? So
oh, my name is Bella. I have trouble looking this way. I want to look that way. So, I teach religion, and it's...
You're on camera right over here. So if you want to look that way.
I forgot makeup, sorry. Anyway, the point is that if we are engaging communities and we have a department such as philosophy and religion, when money issues come up, we often look redundant, and because to generate money on religion is tricky and sensitive in a state university. At the same time, if we work with this model of is this going to give us jobs and stuff like that, we lose something really important in the sense that we need a critical study of some of these subjects to do with our humanity. That involve religion and other ways of thinking about life on earth that are very important. So let's bear that in mind, whoever is in charge, because sometimes it gets excluded. So that's one point. The second point is about, it's come up several times, how we engage. When I was in college, if professors at the university say, well, we want to engage communities, people downtown had a very cynical attitude of that, because if you want to meet them, you go somewhere in a neutral location where they feel comfortable to be engaged as leaders of our wider society. So I just want to put that there in terms of having this good intention to include communities, and then you don't see them when you set up meetings on hilltoppers. So the meeting may have to be creatively create a safe space somewhere down there. and get people to come in and talk. And I'm thinking of religious communities particularly because I teach world religions and mm-hmm. interested in the local and the global and all this kind of thing. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And Bella's organizing a great sustainability event in the spring, so keep your eyes out for that. Christina?
Christina Arnold, Department of Art. And this may be just as specific about asking for feedback in terms of what you all have already come up with, but you've been mentioning two things, big ideas and commonalities across committees. And I've just been looking at the website on my tiny computer, and I was expecting those might be there and they're not. Is that going to be, is that something either you can speak to tonight in terms of what those are, and are those going to be uploaded? Big ideas and commonalities across committees.
Yeah, so one of the reasons the big ideas aren't there is the big ideas are still in a formulation stage. So a lot of what's happened over the first month was kind of going over where we're at and a little bit of how we got here. So again, it was things like silos and operational definitions of success and being student-centered and talking across, you know, how does the student, who are we as Western, what defines us? What do students want after they leave here? You know, what role carries forward in their lives? They may or may not get a job in their degree major, but nevertheless, what things have they garnered from being a student here? Where are they coming from? How do we track them nationally, internationally? How are we being equitable and how are we attracting a diverse environment and keeping a global perspective? So these are all the things that were talked about, and there wasn't, you know, this is not a concrete stage. We didn't put three bricks in the wall. In a sense, we kind of, we were very artsy, I think.
Christina, my understanding is there were big sheets of paper with things written down on them.
If you take a look at the video of the November 9th meeting, we talked about the commonalities and actually wrote them down. So I think that right. You'll be able to see those.
So could there be screenshots of those big sheets of paper posted somewhere?
Yeah, we can. Yes. I mean, that yeah. We can summarize. Well,
I mean, it's easier to do that.
We might do them legibly, but, yeah. So we may retype them.
That way we can appreciate your artsiness too.
So, but again, the video does have the full conversation of everything that went on at that meeting. So, you know, if you watch the video, you'll actually hear every conversation, every question that was raised. So, I mean, the information is there, but I agree, we can certainly summarize and put up some of the concrete stuff.
Great. And yeah, to tag onto what Darlene was saying too, I think that you obviously don't want to focus this too soon, and you want to be able to be open to different ideas coming in from the outside, or, you know, the web of what people can be thinking in terms of big ideas. But at the same time, it does help to have something to tag onto that we can start brainstorming. Thanks.
Sure. And I do encourage everybody to watch the video. It's live. It's real. Does someone want to say?
I'll be honest. At that first meeting, I forgot we were being recorded, and I said something. I don't even remember what it was now, but I remember thinking, oh, crap, somebody just recorded what I said. Well, I feel like that a lot in the meetings. And so it's not that I would say, oh, we're trying to keep hidden anything. It's just that once people start, you know, there might be weird ideas that come up or stuff that you're like, well, that was really stupid. Can't believe anybody said that. But so I think there has to be some, like, it's unfinished. And you don't, I mean, as academics, you really hate the idea of somebody seeing our assignment when it's not all the way done all the way. So I feel that way a little bit. I would be happy to share what we had. It's not like it was secret or anything, but to recognize that, hey, this is like, bleh. I mean, and so I don't want anybody, I really worry about that being judged as somehow, wow, you said this one thing and it wasn't exactly right. So I think there is some concern about that. So it is not about secrecy. It's about not wanting to look stupid sometimes. The other thing I want to say about getting everybody's voice heard, maybe this is the social scientist in me, but I worry a lot about making it possible that every voice is heard. And sometimes we have particular kinds of, I hate this, because I always think the only people who ever talk are the extroverts. We never hear the introvert voices, or the people standing there thinking, wow, everybody's looking at my backside if I stand like this, right? So anytime you open something up, I worry that, well, if I'm only hearing this particular student on this committee, so we have one student, if we put two students on, is that any more representational? I tend to think not. So I worry about more about the channels by which we get the information. And so to all those department heads from whom I solicited information and didn't get it back from you, please do, because I, as a department chair, I'm a little biased to thinking one source for me is department chairs are really good places to cut the joint of the university. And so I solicit for my department chair colleagues information. I'd really like to get that back because I think in some arenas, particularly I'm thinking about department chairs, are the best source of that information. And I really value that input.
That's okay.
The other thing I'd like to say about the big sheets of paper that do exist, and most of us have photographs of them because that's what we were doing is walking around. If you just look at that without any other context, they're not going to make any sense because they were quick ideas. They were thrown down and they were discussed in a broader detail. That's where you would really have to go through there. I'm going to give an example, and this is going to be scary because I know I'm being recorded and this is going to end up newspaper somewhere. One of the ideas that we wrote down on ours was to eliminate colleges. That's not going to happen, right? But the idea was the elimination of the silos, that big idea that we talk about all across campus. But if you just read on that piece of paper, eliminate colleges, that's what you're going to read, and that's what somebody's going to say if we post that big paper. That's not what we were saying. It's not what we were even trying to say. We were trying to say, looking at the silos and how do we eliminate those so we can get more interdisciplinary work across campus. So I think that's one of the concerns that we would have of just posting those big pieces of paper. They were idea things. They were just brainstorming. They weren't anything else other than quick ideas.
And I totally appreciate not wanting to have your work sort of out there before it's done. And I think part of the question is less about feeling that it's about secrecy and more feeling about we're trying to give feedback into a vacuum. And so you're asking for feedback and the question is about what? So that was...
I think right now we're actually not asking for feedback so much as input. And I think they're different. Feedback is something we give you, something you give it to us back. Right now, we're an open, empty cask and pour your wine into us. Okay? And that's really where we're at this stage. What are your concerns? What are your aspirations? Where do you want Western to go? What do you think needs to be fixed? Rather than us saying, we're going to do this, what do you think? And so this is why we have purposely not put a lot of things up before this meeting, because we don't want this channel that's too easy right now for the school to say, okay, we just got to fix these things and this is what we're going to do. And that's not a 10-year strategic plan. The 10-year strategic plan is Kennedy saying, we're going to land the man on the moon, and everybody going, are you nuts? Okay. We want to land a man on the moon, only have it be a woman and have it, you know, be equitable and diverse and all that kind of stuff. But that's where we're headed. And so we don't want it channeled. We want your raw input. So it's, I'm just beg to differ. It's not feedback, it's input.
Laura Bain Selvo, Social Work Department. And this is just the thoughts that I have listening to all of this is I know the kind of feedback I think about is really the kind of concerns I hear from students all the time. So just kind of a reassurance to students, not that it's a replacement for their own voice, but I think a lot of us on the faculty, when we give feedback, it's going to be because we've heard concerns for students, or we've seen the effects of change, or their lives are very different than ours when we are students, and so the ideas are in a sense coming from them that way. So I just, that was my only.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And I think if the students watch the video, I think they'll see that concern across a lot of people.
I feel kind of bad asking this now, but I'm going to ask about themes that have been identified, or if there are any channels that have been at least discussed in more depth for the chairheads, or like the commonalities that you listed that we were seeing. I think they're available, correct? The commonalities between like the problems that were identified.
The commonalities, yes, that because that was one thing that was discussed at the November 9th meeting, and okay. So you will see that in the video.
Okay,
we were like trying to post it up there.
And then in terms of timeline, so I believe you said that spring semester is when they're going some as in plans were going to be submitted. Is I'm using the right term there as in plan. Okay, and then that's when the more doing part instead of the planning is going to begin happening? Or how long is this planning and pre-doing going to take?
What we've been asked to do is to basically work on this process and have it ready for implementation in the fall semester of 2018. So that's the big timeline. I don't know if that, does that address your question?
Yeah, I was just curious about the timeline.
I see a hand behind you.
Thank you. I'm Christian Ryan, and I'm on the Budgeting Efficiency and Infrastructure Steering Committee. And of course, if you have ideas, I welcome you to reach out to me as well. One of the things that I think may be helpful to you all in understanding our process is understanding our process. And so for our committee, at least, and I think the other committees are working similarly, is that we're not looking at, you know, what at WKU do we need to fix, you know, or what are the problems? What we're doing is we're saying, what does a student-centered university look like? And that's what drives our process. That question, we just keep coming back to it over and over and over again. What does a student-centered university look like? And particularly when it comes to efficiency and infrastructure and budgeting, which is our focus, you know, what does a student-centered university look like? So when you look at this website where you can submit feedback, perhaps a guiding question would help you know how to respond to that, you know? So I guess the question is to you, what does a student-centered university look like? That, I think that's the kind of input that we're looking for. Not feedback on you know, what's wrong or how do we fix things, but what does a student-centered university look like? So.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you. First, thank you all for the work you've done and what is to come. Appreciate it. Danita Kelly with the College of Health and Human Services. I think you answered some of this earlier, but I'm thinking, you know, if someone says, what does it mean to be a WKU student, right? If I come, what is my experience going to be like? And I think you addressed that a little, that that's a part of what you're thinking about, right? Is it going to be a personalized experience? Is someone going to help me develop and or achieve my goals? And I hope all those things, right? Is it, when I come, and am I going to be guaranteed to participate in something? If I do my part, will the university hold up their bargain so that I have the opportunity to participate in a research and or an applied community project, an internship or a practicum, right? A study away, study abroad, or whatever it is, so that I know what it means, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not only am I going there, but here's what I have to look, right? What I have to look forward to in those experiences. And anyway, so that's kind of, I think that seems where it's headed. And you mentioned a little bit about that, but I think that would help us in explaining and with the resource following and the support with to make that happen.
Danita, what you just said has been the focus of our entire committee's conversation for the last month. So what does it mean to be a WKU student? And what does that identity look like? So what you just said, we're in the weeds on that big time.
All right, well, we are after 4 and people are leaving to go to Senate. So thank you, senators, for coming. And I think we had scheduled this from 3 to 4. So we are going to close this one down. And if anybody wants to talk to any of the co-chairs that are still here afterwards, they're over here. And if you want to talk to Paula, we'll be hiding somewhere. No, we'll be here as well. So thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.